So we're supposed to be doing a show, right?
Is that what we're supposed to be doing?
Hello and welcome to the Ritual Misery Podcast, episode beta 97 for Wednesday, the 5th of October, 2016. This is a show where two lifelong friends talk about geek stuff and I fuck up the intro. I'm Amos, that's Kent, and sitting right there, that's Hot Beverages, Miss Emily.
Hi!
Kent, you looked like you had something to say, and then it petered out and nothing came out. Like, I wasn't sure if your Skype just froze, if your brain froze. Like, it was...
Yeah, it could have been either one, honestly. In that case, I think it was my brain freezing. Actually, I was considering going into mime, and I figured I'd just start practicing now.
Yeah? Well, I mean, it's going to be a very interesting episode. You tell us how that goes at the end of the show. Emily, how have you been?
I've been doing pretty well. Just, you know, staying up. You totally lied. It's the 6th of October right now for me.
Oh, well, that's not the only thing that was lied about in the intro. I'll let the really astute listeners catch on to what the mistake was. Man, this week has been one of those weeks where, you know, so my weekend was basically lazy. Like, I didn't get anything done Saturday or Sunday, and it's the first time in forever that I just haven't had an agenda, and everything that was on my agenda just got wiped clean on, like, Thursday, and I said screw it. So Saturday and Sunday were just I didn't even have time to watch the movie The Red Box that I rented.
Damn.
I was too busy being lazy.
Yeah, well, sometimes those are the best weekends.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. Like, I recommend it. Like, obviously not every weekend.
Right on.
But not bad.
No, I can understand that. Like, this past weekend was, like, the first weekend where I was able to just sleep in and not have to worry about anything. So those are few and far in between. So you got to take advantage of them.
Yeah.
Well, I finally did my Cat 6 routing project.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I had to get up in the attic, in the fucking 1,000-degree attic that I've got.
It's like the middle of fall and it's still 1,000 degrees in your attic. I love that part.
Well, it was the hottest day that we've had in a while. It was 85 degrees, which means your attic is going to be 1,000. So it's like a factor of whatever. I don't know. I can't math.
So I found out something this weekend. This is apparently supposed to be like a 10-year high for solar activity. So the fact that I still have yet to catch a good aurora borealis, like the good wavy shit, the river that they call it, it depresses me even more. This year is my best chance, and I'm halfway through the season. I haven't seen shit yet, you know. So
I thought those were more prevalent in the wintertime.
They are, but it's winter to me.
Just wait.
Yeah,
just wait.
Yeah, it's been fun though. I mean, we get up in the morning at like 5 o'clock in the morning. It was when we hit the road, 5:15 or so. And this morning it was 33 degrees. So I was driving into work and I could feel like every once in a while you hit a little spot where it's like, oh, that was not unfrozen. So
yeah, it's like mid to high 60s when I leave for work in the morning.
What's your weather like, Emily?
Oh, it's been, well, today was actually really hot out, but it had been cooling down finally, fall weather. But I think it's supposed to be hot for the next few days, and then finally we're supposed to get down back into the 50s and 60s, which is where we were.
Yeah,
I'm really looking forward to this winter, especially considering they already have the heat on in the building. I'm used to being in places where they don't turn the heat on until it's like 40 degrees below or something. You know, like they don't want to spend the money on the heat. So I actually got a thermometer for my office because some of my office mates have been telling me how cold it is. It has not dropped below 75 degrees in my office since I got the thermometer, and the complaints continue. So,
is that just the main topic of conversation in Alaska? Is just people being like, it's cold today.
Well,
yeah, it's cold one yesterday.
There's like three or four of us in my office that it's our first winter here. And I'm one of those people that I don't get cold very easily. Like, when I'm cold, you know it's cold outside, you know? When I'm hot, like I could be burning hot at any given time. It could be 40 below in the house, and I'm like, oh my god, it's so hot in here. But when
when Amy's cold, there's like three or four people with frostbite. Somebody's dead in the corner. He was like, ah, it's kind of starting to get chilly.
Yeah. I'm thinking about putting some clothes on. You know? People are missing feet, and I'm just like, yeah, it's okay.
Yeah.
But it hits like 85 degrees, and I'm melting, like just literally melting. I can't handle the heat, which is funny because I grew up in Southern California where it's nothing but hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like Superman growing up on Krypton, right?
I fail to see the connection, but okay.
Well, Superman grew up on Krypton. Well, was born on Krypton. And now the kryptonite from Krypton is his weakness.
Ah, I see what you did there.
Yeah, that's a little insensitive. Superman grew up on Krypton. I don't know if you know this, but like his entire planet died. Way to be sensitive to the death of all Kryptonians.
You know, there's something about fictional characters that just relegate them to I don't care about their feelings. I'm weird. Like I have a hard time accepting the feelings of real life living humans. I'm not going to be overly.
What about clowns? Are you sensitive to clowns?
Oh my god.
So. Emily, what about you? Do you like clowns? Do clown lives matter?
I don't particularly like clowns, although I just heard about the clowns attacking people thing, which I guess is like a nationwide threat or trend. Apparently, there were some clowns like a town over going through one of the parks with a machete and got the police called on them, but they didn't get caught.
Oh, so this is like in your area?
No, it's like a nationwide thing, apparently. Oh. It's just like people, I think there was a school a couple counties down in Kentucky that got like some clowns called in like a threat to the school, and they had to close down the school for like a little bit. So, I don't know what the deal is.
Emily, are you the clown?
Are we live on the internet? Because I don't want to like incriminate myself.
We are. If the FBI shows up on show, you know what it'll do for our ratings. Go ahead.
Are you come on, man? Don't like swat.
We'll have like three more visitors on our site than we have had before, which is like
we'll double our audience.
That's like triple viewership. Yeah, that's like sky rating.
My God.
There are people in chat realm talking about the show right now that have never seen the show. So it's okay. Like,
well, if I need to be arrested for that to happen, I will gladly make the sacrifice.
See, we need more fans like that.
Exactly. That's dedication.
Yeah. Why can't our fans be as cool as our guests? I don't understand. So, that's that. And, then we're going to talk about some other stuff because clowns, the thing with clowns, it was brought up in conversation. Why do people find clowns scary?
Are you asking me?
Well, that's the question that was asked of me, and I'd be interested to hear your answer.
I think it's because they, like, it's a person, right? But they're not representing themselves as themselves. It's someone in disguise, which is already off-putting. But then they have makeup on that like basically freezes an emotion on their face, whether it's, you know, super happy or scary or whatever it is, but it's a frozen emotion. And that is the most unnatural, unnerving thing. I don't know. I think that's what it is.
From what I understand, that's exactly what it is. You have one of two reactions typically around clowns. Either they make you smile and laugh because of the same reason. Or they'll make you scared. They'll strike up a nerve on you. And really, it's just a matter of how your brain takes the input of the distorted face, the cartoony figure in front of you. It's a human, but it's off enough with the big red nose and the makeup and everything else. It's off enough to strike that up. Like, that's not right. So your body, your natural reaction is to either laugh or fear it.
So kind of like an Uncanny Valley thing?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. So
I don't think I've seen a clown in person before, like been to a party with a clown. So I don't actually I don't know how I feel about them. I'm kind of just neutral. I'm like, just, I guess, live and let live.
I enjoy circuses because there's clowns there and there's a chance the clowns are going to get trampled.
Oh, shit. Wow. That took a turn. Damn.
So there you go. Ken, are you still playing Pokemon Go?
Kind of off and on. When I went to Kentucky a couple of weeks back, I was playing there because there were new Pokemon that I'd never captured before.
Right.
So I was playing there. Every now and then I'll open the app and just kind of, you know, play with it or whatever. But not on a regular everyday basis, no.
Yeah. Emily?
I mean, I know all the cool kids aren't playing it still, but I have this obsession where I have to catch like this huge army of Jigglypuff, because Jigglypuff is indisputably the best Pokemon out of all the Pokemon. Like, there's no argument there. She just is. Currently, I'm at 27 Jigglypuff, and every morning before work, we'll like take like 5 minutes to do Pokemon. And
so let me get this straight. The plural of Jigglypuff is Jigglypuff, so it's like deer.
Well, I guess there's no official thing. See, I didn't grow up with Pokemon. I didn't have a lot of friends as a kid, and didn't really know about Pokemon until I was like in eighth or ninth grade, when someone found a Game Boy Color in like the alleyway at our school, because the band room, I was in band, was by this alleyway, and this guy named Andy Steckel, shout out to a guy I knew like over a decade ago, found this Game Boy Color, and it's like, oh, Pokemon. And I'm like, what the heck's that? And apparently everyone when I was like 12 was obsessed with it, and I just missed it. And at this point I'm like 14, and he's like, oh, Pokemon, it's this game, it's so fun. And he caught the Psyduck, and he's like, see, this is a Psyduck, I'm going to name it Emily. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. And then I didn't realize that Psyduck is, like, the worst Pokemon out of all of them. He's, like, got that weird, like, duck face. And I'm like, oh, I thought he was being nice, but he named me after the worst Pokemon.
He was taking selfies then.
Oh.
Amos, how did you discover Pokemon? Like, do you remember first hearing about Pokemon? Because I remember finding out about Pokemon.
The first thing that I had knowledge of Pokemon, my first memory of Pokemon, was when we were in Okinawa, and they had the Game Boy Colors. It was like the special one. They're like different color Game Boys. You know what I mean?
Oh, right. Yeah,
I forget which ones they were, but. And when the BX started selling those, when we were at Kadena, the BX started selling those, and they started selling all the Pokemon, like yellow, blue, red, gold, whatever, blah, 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 blah. And also, like, the entire shelf that used to be, like, Gran Turismo and stuff was all just different colors of Pokemon boxes. And I was like, what the hell? Why do you need 43 different kinds of the same game? This is the dumbest shit ever. And it kind of just maintained that status in my mind, you know, all through my young Ashley is obsessed with them. She loves Pokemon, and I just kind of suffered through like this is retarded, this is dumb, this is not something I'm interested in anyway. And then Pokemon Go came out, and I was like, I gotta get them. Like, So I have regular appointments at the physical therapist, and there are two Pokestops on my way. There's another one not far from there, and there's always what the hell is it? The one that looks like the bowling ball, like chomping at the bit thing with like the smoke around it or whatever. There's always like five of those hanging around the med group, and I'm always trying to catch one. I've only ever caught one.
Oh, the Ghastly? I think those are Ghastlies.
Sure, let me pull out my portable digital device that, you know.
I don't have those right here. But while you're looking for that, I'll tell you the story of when I first discovered Pokemon. Remember our friend Patrick, Amos?
Patrick?
Yeah.
Patrick Mattis? So,
same time frame that you were talking about. This is when we were in Okinawa.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to him on the phone one time, and he begged and pleaded for me to go downtown in Japan to the vending machines and Japanese Pokemon cards.
Yes.
Like, dude, you can eat shit. I don't know what the hell you're talking about. And you can just shut the fuck up about that, because it ain't happening.
It's like the one time we should have listened to Patrick.
Exactly. That's one of my moments of regret. I should have bought all of them. And not giving them the Patrick.
It started out as a trading card game, didn't it? Yeah. And then it moved to video games.
I think it was. Yeah. I think it was actually a video game first.
Yep, Ghastly. No, it was a.
Aha! See, I'm learning their names.
I'm not sure my level of impressedness.
As long as we're pulling out our Pokemon phones, literally, I don't know if you can see this. This is my Jigglypuff army. These are the only Pokemon worth catching. I will only respect you if you have. Oh well. Oh yo, Pidgeys. Pidgeys are trash.
I got a Pidgey army.
Trash monster, so, Pidgey. Those are only good for candy and leveling up with the lucky egg trick. Copyright me. No one else knows about it.
Emily, I'm a little upset with you for hoarding all of the Jigglypuffs, because when I was up there visiting with you, I was there for basically 24 hours and I did not catch a single Jigglypuff.
Well, Jigglypuff, it's weird because the first 2 weeks, the only reason I got this Pokemon Go game to begin with when it started back in July was I was like, okay, Pokemon's trash. I don't know anything about it. I didn't grow up with it. Only exposure I had to it was Smash Brothers. For 2 weeks, I was like, I am only playing this game until I get a Jigglypuff. And so I searched for 2 weeks, played this game pretty hardcore, trying to find a Jigglypuff, could not find one. I went out, I visited my mother, and we were going to go out to lunch one day. And I had the app open, and we were driving by, and I saw a Jigglypuff, and I was like, pull over! I'm getting this Jigglypuff. It's the first one I've ever seen. I caught it. Best day of my life. So the point is they can be hard to come by. I got two on my way to work once when I responsibly pulled over to the side of the road and caught them. But like, they can be really hard to come by. I think I caught six in Indianapolis when I was there this summer. I only caught one in Atlanta. It can be hard. Jigglypuff can be hard. I wasn't hoarding them. If it was up to me, everyone could have Jigglypuff. Oh, I would have the most, because Jigglypuff's literally the best and only Pokemon worth having. But, you know, I'd share with people. I'm not selfish. I'm not. Come on.
Okay, all right. I believe.
Good job calling her out on that one, Kent.
Oh,
talking shit about me and Pokemon.
like Emily's by easily the most, like, she, yeah.
Use your words.
No,
yeah, words are hard.
No,
especially
they didn't work. She's easily the most defensive guest we've ever had on.
You had two guests in a row that were just like, oh, Emily, I hate her. She sucks. And, I mean, that may have not been what Bonnie or Stacy said. I don't know. I'm not accusing anyone of saying that they were going to, like, beat me up in an alley. But that's pretty much what I heard. I don't know. If anyone else heard anything different, then you weren't listening to the same podcast as I was. Virtual Misery Podcast, still in beta.
Okay. First of all, I know you're lying because nobody listens to this show. Like, so your entire point is completely invalid. But were that the case, if you had listened to this show before, and we did say something along those lines, it would never have been that. It would never have been, oh my God, Emily sucks. Like, totally, I'm not going to, like, even try to quantify the level of distaste for the hot beverages. Like, there's no way. Like, that would never happen on the show, at least not live. It happened, like, a post-show.
Oh.
Like, yeah, that's a post-show thing. That's totally a post-show thing.
Oh,
that might
my
have been
gosh.
The time we forgot to stop broadcasting. We thought we were in the post-show. Times that you stopped recording, but you didn't actually stop broadcasting.
Maybe.
It might have been one of those shows.
Yeah, no, because those were, like, a long time ago. We were still trying to figure out how to broadcast in the first place.
No doubt. Oh, man. So this weekend, you were talking about your lazy weekend. I had a little bit of a game night.
Yeah.
And we played this card game. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's called Exploding Kittens.
Okay, you've got my attention.
Amos, are you a fan of cats?
Look, I'm running out of my PC ways of saying things, so I'm just going to go with no.
Oh, man.
I don't think we can be friends.
Look, I wouldn't mind cats so much if they didn't make me all puffy-eyed and throat-closed and runny-nosed.
Yeah. That's just an excuse. I mean, I'm sorry, Ken. I know you're trying to tell us about exploding kittens, but Momo is literally the best cat ever. And I'm just going to have to show you like this picture of her being like literally adorable. And by that picture, I mean, it's the first one I was able to pull up. Oh, wait, camera. I don't know how cameras work. See, look. How could you not find that to be adorable?
Looks like chaos.
Your mom's your chaos.
No, chaos is the name of our cat from my first marriage.
Oh, like
I don't know why you come on the show with so much angst and
your
hatred.
Face is chaos.
Yeah. Ken, we've never been attacked on our own show before. Like, this is new.
I made friends, and then I'm like, hey, why would you be friends with me? You're obviously a terrible person. And then I attack them, and that's how I keep so many friends.
And this explains why you were 2 years late to the Pokemon.
I was friends. All my friends, quiet. Shut up. Exploding kittens.
Ken, tell us about blowing up cats.
Oh, man. Have either of you played this game?
No, but you have my attention.
Yeah, it's super cool. It's a game that's super easy to learn. It'll probably take you like 2 rounds of playing it, which each round takes like no time, like 30 seconds or something.
Yeah.
About 2 rounds in, you'll have the game down pat. Strategy already figured out.
Is this a mainstream game or is this like something local or?
Well, it actually began as a Kickstarter.
Like I have to ask because I don't see. Oh, I guess there is a link. Oh,
yeah, I put a link in the show notes.
That's stupid. I should totally like click on the link.
Yeah, it started as a Kickstarter a few years ago, and it's in stores now. Like it's pretty mainstream now.
Okay.
But it's super fun. It's a great party game. Someone who doesn't like cats, I think you would get a kick out of this because it's there's kittens exploding. But at the same time, though, this isn't a I hate cats game completely. Emily, I think you would like it, too, because there's every card is illustrated with like a super cute cat picture. And there's things like we were playing the NSFW version. We've actually got the original version and the NSFW version. And this weekend we chose the adult one. And there's cards like the multi-titty kitty. And it's got a cat in a bikini with like multiple bras.
Well,
and it's hilarious.
Animals are like that.
Yeah, but it's so funny and the drawings are cute and I think you would enjoy it because the entire point of the game is to not explode the kitty. You're trying to defuse the
Oh, that's great, because I thought the point would be to explode them and I'm like, I can't do that. I love cats too much. I just want to save all of them and just
exactly.
I actually have this board game that my friend Casey gave me several years ago for a birthday called Crazy Cat Lady Game. And the point of the game is to own and collect as many cats as you can. And I've only been able to play it twice just because for some reason, no one wants to play it with me because I either always win or they just don't like cats as much as I do. but I bet it's the prototype to exploding kittens, except for they don't explode in this game, but you know.
So I'm just going to interject really quickly. I know we like to joke on the show how nobody watches it. Mm. I know how we like to say that we don't have any fans. We have friends of the show, but we don't have any fans, and how nobody ever downloads our shit. I just want to put it out there that Stacy, our guest from last week, just tweeted a message to me and Kent saying, hey, are either of you guys up? And my reply was, LOL, we're live. I'm just saying, like, there's some validation to it.
Yeah. 1 week ago.
Yeah, 1 week ago, at the same time slot on the same day, she was on the show. So, take that for what you will.
My rivalry with her is the main reason I think I was invited on, because that Stacy. Okay,
well, let me
tell you what I hate about Stacy is that she is so freaking cool, and she is like infinitely cooler than me, and I will never be as cool as Stacy. Also, she owes me a chocolate milk. Now, this is important.
With interest.
I'm derailing the show for this.
With interest.
I went to Dragon Con against my better judgment, because I have a thing against crowds where they just, it's just debilitating, and it's just, anyway, but I went to Dragon Con, and she's like, oh, I left something in your hotel room. I need your key. My name's Stacy. I'm so cool, because she's really cool. I really like Stacy. But anyway, she's like, I need your key. And I'm like, yeah, sure. You just need to return it to me. You know what she didn't do? She didn't return my key. She left it in the room. I didn't have a key back to the hotel. I had to rely on Waffleophagus later to get into the hotel room. And so I told her, I'm like, Stacy, you effed up. You owe me a chocolate milk. And she's like, yeah, I'll totally get you one. You know what she didn't get me? A chocolate milk. And so that's she's going to get a beat up. She doesn't give me a chocolate milk next time I see her. Calling you out, Stacy.
she's gonna have to respond later. We tried to get her on the show, but she is computer incapable at the moment.
So ooh,
she
is, nice wording.
At least so she says.
She's scared, so she is.
Yeah, she knows I'm gonna beat her up. She doesn't send me that chocolate milk. I think interest has it up to, last time it was a half gallon. I'm gonna say we're up to a gallon now.
Gallon,
she better pay back soon, or she's gonna owe me like a whole cow.
A chocolate cow.
Yes. Yeah. They make those.
Well, yeah,
those
they have them in Indiana. Like, we saw the commercial. Oh my god. Okay, Kent. So anything else more about exploding kittens, or would you like to move on to zombie dies?
There's gonna be a link to exploding kittens in the show notes. Check it out. Super fun. Zombie dice is another game. We played that game next. Have you played zombie dice?
Well, of course
yes.
Not. Because I refuse to play anything that you tell me about before you tell me about it.
See. This game, okay, have you ever played Farkle?
Sounds
what the
familiar.
Heck's a Farkle?
It's a push your luck kind of game with dice. You roll dice, and you need to get a certain number of points to get on the board, and then you can try your luck and roll again. Or you can, if you roll a certain thing, then your turn's over and you don't get any of your points. But you can either take your points and run, or try again to get more points, or you risk losing all your points. Well, Zombie Dice is a game just like that. Yeah, super fun. This is my favorite game to play when you've got 10 minutes and you want to play a game. You can get in probably 3 rounds of Zombie Dice.
Wow.
It is super fun, and it's really fast-paced. But now, if you've got like 4 or 5 people playing, it's going to take a little longer
than that. You can go 3 times in the matter of 10 minutes. That's like sex.
That's... maybe when I was a teenager or 20-year-old. Not so much the case these days.
Now it takes 10 minutes just to get the motor running.
right. We used to play zombie dice a lot in lines for PAX shows, for panels. It's very, very popular because of how quick it goes. And it's very, like, you just grab the dice, throw it. Hopefully you don't get a red die. You get all the green ones, eat all the brains, don't get shot.
Yep, exactly. It's super fun. Check it out. There's going to be a link to that, too. Two of my favorite party games of all time, Exploding Kittens and Zombie Dice.
Very cool. Very cool. You know what one of my favorite games of all time is?
Pool? I was going to guess Pocket Pool.
No. That's an occupational hazard. It's not a game.
Okay. I would argue that it's both.
Oh, well, okay. I can see that. All right. One of my favorite games is... Let's see which firmware fits on your router.
Not a fun game.
No, not so much. So that's pretty much what I did this weekend, or last couple of days, was try to get OpenWrt on the new router that I bought so that I could put some monitoring software on it and keep track of who's using how much internet, because holy shit, they're using a lot of internet in this house. I say as I stream live on diamondclub.tv.
Do you guys have a bandwidth cap up there?
We do. It's a 1 gigabyte bandwidth cap.
Wait, you 1 gig? Wait, that's not possible. You're funning.
No, seriously, it's 1 gig. We have gigabit internet and not 1 gig. Sorry, 1 terabyte. A terabyte.
Yeah, that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. I was like, dude, your internet bill must be $17,000 a month.
Well, you know, I try. So that's why I'm so broke. But yeah, I did that. I messed with that. Tried to get OpenWrt working, and it wasn't quite flowing. So I went back to my old trusty DDWrt that I've been using for years. And wow, what a difference! And it was nice to get back to the old stomping grounds. Get back in there. Still got the same interface and everything else. Still same capabilities. But what the important part of it was, there's a lot of SSH. And there's a lot of telnetting and everything else into the router to get to the backside on the graphical interface. Not the graphical, the text interface. Holy crap, man. Relearning some of those commands and learning some new ones for the first time and just diving into that world. Man, I miss that. I miss just hacking into some shit like that. It's so fun. Especially when you're throwing in commands and you're not sure exactly what they do. So you're just kind of typing and praying.
Oh, God. That just sounds scarily awful or awfully scary. Probably both.
It was fun. It was fun. And I really enjoyed it. So that's kind of my geeky thing of the week.
All right.
I don't know anything about coding, so.
Yeah, better you than me. I would have fucked that all up.
I.e. thrown it away.
Yeah, pretty much. That's crashed down.
You mean I got to log in on terminal? Oh, yeah. No, this is trash. It's gone.
This is
going away. Holy shit. Well, so we did not do a TED Talk again this week. Did we do a TED Talk last week? I think we did, didn't we? Maybe not. I don't remember.
I don't think we did. I don't know.
We need to find a new batch of TED Talks.
Yeah. What's your thoughts on TED Talks?
I haven't listened to enough to really... Yeah, I'm not okay. My only exposure to them, I think, is occasionally I'll listen to NPR before I got satellite radio that came free with my car. Shout out to satellite radio. they seem very educational and cool and discussing interesting topics. I can't for the life of me remember the last one I listened to. It was probably something about being happy or something. But I think they're a good resource for some good old learning, but I am very ignorant on the entire topic because I'm not cool.
we kind of use TED Talks as a cheat when we don't have enough cool topics to talk about or good conversation starters in mind. You know what? Let's do a TED Talk and instant conversation.
And sometimes they're really, really awesome. And the problem is I'll catch on to one and I'll sit there and watch like 3 hours will go by and I'd just be TED-ed out. And then it'll come time for show and I'll be like, I don't remember which one I wanted to talk about. Well, you can just look back through your history. Yeah, but there's like 45 of them. Like, I'm not,
Right. And so. Yeah.
Is there like an event that they're just discussed at, or is it just, this speaker spoke about this topic at such and such convention
they actually have several conferences now and all over the place.
Mm-hmm. And it's the actual TED Talks, not the TEDx's. Well, I mean, all of them are invite only, but the actual TED Talks are very carefully practiced events and you find people that will want to do TED Talks, but they either can't cut the mustard or they have to put a lot of effort into it to really make it the presentation that it is. And if you can find a TED Talk that's on something that you enjoy or something that you like to learn about, they're amazing. So
did Brian Brushwood do one, or did I just make that up? I probably just made that up.
He did a Google Talk.
Yeah. Okay. It wasn't a TED. I'm 99% sure it wasn't a TED.
If it was a TED, we would have found out by now, or we are the worst reviewers of TED Talks in the
What is it stand for, like, technology, education?
Design.
Design, okay.
Yeah, and it's really the design part that usually interests me the most, because the technology stuff is either something that's so far out there that I'll never see in my lifetime.
Now, see, Bob Cowley in the chat says that he thinks it was a TEDx.
Might it have been a TEDx? Might, only if it was in Austin, though. Like, he wouldn't fly anywhere else for it.
Well, that's probably true.
Brian Brush would be like, yeah, when it comes to me.
Yeah. Brian, we've got something to say about Brian later in the show. Yeah. We'll get to that.
Hey, and we have a link. We have an actual link.
Each biscuit is like a
look at that.
Snowflake.
Well, that sucks. Was it TEDx? Nice.
In San Antonio. Yeah. Okay, so close enough. How to scam your way into anything.
That's like 2 hours away from
me. Yeah. Okay.
So, oh, God, I love San Antonio.
Oh, man, it's got the whole introduction and everything. Oh, this is going to kill me. Of course, it's popping up in the chat in the chat room area.
Yeah, we'll have to review this on a future show. Not next week's show. That would be awkward.
Yeah, it would.
We'll get into why.
We'll get into that later. Hey, man, so we've had some talks before. Speaking of TED Talks, one of the TED Talk things we watched was about bees. And this week, 7 bee species have been placed on the U.S. Endangered Species List. 7 native Hawaiian bees have been placed on the Endangered Species List.
Unless I'm mistaken, this is the first time an insect has ever been placed on the Endangered Species List. Is that correct?
I know it's the first time a bee has been placed. I'm not sure about insect, but it would not surprise me. But yeah, it's officially getting to where they're in danger, man. Like, we've talked about this before. Neither one of us are overly fond of bees, but they're insanely important creatures for not just the honey they provide and fills our tummy, but also for the pollination of pretty much everything that we eat that doesn't come out of a hoofed or footed animal.
No, exactly. I mean, they're basically essential for all flora on the planet. I think I saw a number, something like 90% of all flora relies on bees and other pollinating insects. It's vitally important.
Even I don't know, there's so many insects that do the job, but nothing does it quite as well as bees.
Nowhere near the numbers. Bees, I mean, they are the workforces of the pollination
the
world.
Pollination nation.
Yeah,
do they have any idea what's causing this to the bees?
So between a fungus, right? There's a fungus. There's encroachment. There's the warming of the globe. You know, the global warming, I think they call it. And
Al made that up.
Yeah, Al Gore, fucking Al Gore. Al Gore is killing the bees.
Damn it, Al Gore! Shit!
If only we could use the power of the internet to save the bees.
That's a figment of his imagination too.
Well, yeah, of course, just like Snickers bars. But yeah, there's a lot of different things. Some things that we can help with, some things that we probably can't or shouldn't. But either way, it's getting to the point now where it's getting in dire straits. So it sucks, but it's kind of how it goes. And these are all in Hawaii too.
But it's a good thing that they're being put on the endangered species list, because that's going to require certain things to happen. So if you want to clear a piece of land that has a bee population on it, if they're on the endangered list, well, no, you're not clearing that land.
Yeah. Tough knuckles. You're done.
Right. So that's a really good thing to protect the species.
Yeah. I mean, look what it did for the praying mantis. So there's a few things we need to cover, dude, before we wrap this show up.
Yeah.
One of them is geekandgamergear.com.
That's one of my favorite sites to shop on, dude.
Yeah.
Emily, have you ever been to geekandgamergear.com?
I haven't.
Yeah.
You need to check that out. I know you like geeky, nerdy little like trinkets and clothing items and things like that. You really got to check it out. They've got really great prices on there. There's all sorts of nerdy stuff.
There's Pokemon stuff. There's Zelda stuff. I'm just looking at the main page. Like, it's
absolutely. And if you use the code Ritual Misery at checkout, you will get 10% off your first order. So
wait, they have a Mother 3 English fan translation cart?
Sorry.
Mother 3 is one of my favorite games.
So you need to go to geekngamergear.com. That's geek, the letter N, gamergear.com. Cruise on over there. Use the code Ritual Misery at checkout. Save 10% off your first order and help us out a little bit in the process. Oh, that's where you were supposed to kick up, Kent. That's where you're supposed to take the show to the...
I'm sorry, I was typing in chat realm. As you ended it, I looked at it and I was like, okay.
Stop engaging with the audience.
Like there's an audience, right? he's engaging with himself. That's not what we do on this show. That's a different show, dude.
I've actually got like 3 computers going over here. Everyone in chat realm right now is me.
It's not even 3 different computers. You can have just like 4 different instances of the browser open. You just load it up.
You're Wonder Mom, and you're Bob Callie, because I'm pretty sure I met Bob Callie. And okay.
Oh man, you've heard of throwing your voice, right? Well, I throw my
He throws his chat voice.
Yeah, exactly. And that's funny because voice is a thing in chat room. But anyway.
I do love it when you catch on quick.
Oh, God. I'm going to start looking into that mime career again.
Best podcasting move ever. Hey, man. So I did a project this like a while ago, and it's finally out. We can finally talk about it, man. My secret project.
Yes, yes. Tell the world, because not enough people have downloaded and listened to it yet.
I downloaded and listened to it.
and what did you think, Emily?
I really liked it, especially since you were asking him about... we're talking about Dismantled, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, Dismantled.
And you're not some other secret project that I'm just like, I'm going on about Dismantled. And you're like, I built a death laser. What are you talking about?
Dismantled is Amos's new podcast where he interviews someone for a series of interviews. And his first subject is Justin Robert Young. And that's what we're discussing right now, for those that were not in.
I found it really interesting because on his own podcast, it's comedy, journalism, politics, etc. This is something I personally wanted to ask him about, but I've never... I'm just bad at conversations in general. I've always wanted to ask his reaction, how he is, I guess, how what you said discussing Diamond Club. But I've always wanted to see how someone's personal reaction was to them having like a fan base and how they would feel about it. And I found the entire thing interesting, like something that I don't think he's ever really talked about or maybe even been asked about.
So the catalyst of the show was that I find Justin Robert Young very interesting, just overall, not only his mic presence and, you know, how he handles himself on the shows and stuff like that, but the way that he formulates things and how well he can pull a tangent and really just bring it all in at the end and things like that. And I got to thinking that he gets really personal on his shows, but there's so much more to the story and there's more to him and there's more things to talk about. And I asked him, I was like, hey, what do you think about doing a short run of episodes, maybe 5, maybe 10, and just each time just tackle a subject and it just be a different interview, different, like a very focused kind of interview. And he was like, yeah, man, cool. Hit me up. Of course, then summer happened. And between CreateCon and shoot, what else? Like fucking DragonCon.
Yeah, and
Con.
You moving to the other side
right,
of the planet.
Me moving from Korea to Texas to Alaska in the matter of like 3 weeks or whatever. It almost didn't happen. Like it kind of almost like just lost steam and just went away. And finally I emailed him. I was like, hey man, let's do this. And he got on and he didn't have any idea what it was about, what the interview was about in any way. He didn't have any forewarning. And just as you hear in the show, I just hit him with a question and just took it from there. And I'd really like to keep this going with other podcasters. I've got a couple more episodes with Justin Robert Young to record and to get moving out. But at the end of that show, when we were talking about after the recording, he was like, hey, man, take it and run with it. Don't make it just about me. Like, you did pretty good, so just take it and go and make it a thing. So they got me thinking, well, who else would I do? You know, who else would I ask? And then I started thinking, man, there's so many other great podcasters, and that's just podcasting. And if I can create an interview show where it's just, you know, singular or semi pretty focused topics and just ask the questions that other people don't ask and get the answers that other people don't get, hey, more power to me. So this is the first installment of Justin Robert Young.
Yep.
And the lead question is, what do you think about Diamond Club? And it just kind of goes from there.
Yep. So. Dude, it was so good. That's a question that nobody, I'm sure nobody has ever asked them that question, at least not in a public forum. I loved that show. I listened to it when you, like, right after you recorded it. I listened to it in the raw format. And then I listened to it again when you released it. I was just intending to listen to the first few minutes just to see, like, oh, what kind of music did he add to it? No, I had to listen to the whole thing again. It's just that good. It's so good. If you haven't checked it out, Undaunted on iTunes.
No, not Undaunted.
Sorry, that's your other show.
that's how professional we are around here. No, Undaunted is hopefully coming out of hiatus very soon, but it's a different type of interview show with a different focus.
Yep.
So
the same potential guests, I think, yep, to a point, but a completely different focus.
So Dismantled is hopefully it can be anybody. It can just be someone who's got multiple layers, like Wonder Mom said, you know, an onion. Someone out there that's got a lot of different things that they're into. Really like to get into that. Undaunted, which the last episode was back in March when I interviewed Tom Merritt at South By.
Right. Yeah, that was so awesome. That's, in the rain on the sidewalk.
Yes.
Oh, that was you? Because I was outside for a little bit, and I didn't realize that Tom was the very tall man that was standing outside was Tom Merritt. I thought that was okay.
Yeah,
well, I think I was there for that.
Yeah, Roberto Vegas was actually recording that episode.
Because honestly, I thought Roberto was doing an interview, so that was you.
He did one immediately after.
Okay.
Yeah, we were the sound check for his show later. that's a show where I interview podcasters about podcasting, you know, the ups and downs, all of that stuff, and hopefully it'll be bringing out of hiatus very soon as well, along with a new project that I'm working on, Podcast Pastiche, and that's another project that, well, hopefully it'll kick that one off soon too. Like, I'm just all over the damn place. So that's that. That's the secret project that we were talking about months ago that we can finally reveal. And hopefully you just go out and listen to it. And if you like it, let me know. I need more input on my interviewing style because I'm not getting enough. And everybody says I'm doing great and I just don't believe them. So tell me the things that I'm doing wrong.
Yeah. Or tell him specifically what he's doing right.
Either way. So that's that. Hey, man, we're doing a countdown, dude. It's actually a count up.
Yeah, see, that was pointed out to me when we were like on episode 93 or something, that it's actually a count up. And I was like, well, it's too late. It's too late. We already named it as countdown to 100. This is episode 97. We're almost there, man.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so what's next? Like, what number's coming up next?
Would be episode 98.
98. So,
yeah.
That sounds,
I don't believe you.
Yeah, that's...
That seems suspicious.
There's actual math involved. I don't know if it's right.
So the guests that we have lined up for the next three shows, we spent basically the last 2 months trying to finalize the booking on them, and I think we've got the next three shows set in stone.
So can we say who they are?
I say yes. Let's do it. You know what? Let's say them all. You want to say them all?
Yeah, let's do it. So next episode... I'm not going to say next week because it might actually get pushed back, and you'll understand why very shortly. Next episode is the godfather of Diamond Club, Brian Brushwood himself, will be our guest on the Ritual Misery program. The week after that, Kent?
Well, the show after that, depending on when they air. So Brian is supposed to be on. He's scheduled for next week, but he is going to be
on the road.
On remote, yeah. So he'll be using his laptop from a hotel room. So if that doesn't work out, we're going to push it to the next week. So that's why we're being kind of ambiguous on the dates. But that's episode 98. Episode 99 is the aforementioned Justin Robert Young.
Freshly returning from the UK.
Yep.
So
you'll get him in the heat of political season, probably before the election, right?
Oh, yeah. That'll it should be
about
two or three weeks, depending on when it falls in. Yeah.
Yeah. The big episode 100 is really cool because we're having two guests on, and both of them have been huge, huge influences on us as podcasters. And in fact, the show that they host together was really the show that
the final catalyst. It was like the last of the fuel that made us decide we had to do this show.
Right. Yeah. And those two people are who, Amos?
They are the co-hosts of the Frog Pants Network's show, Current Geek. They have 15 years of podcasting experience between them.
And at least, I would say.
One's been podcasting for 10 years, and the other one's very close to it, if not at 10 years. So probably 20 years.
Yeah, 15 to 20 years of experience
Man,
between
it's
them.
Man, it's amazing. And both of them are podcasting idols of ours and journalism idols, really. I mean, creative idols. They're really just awesome, and we love almost everything that they do. I don't say everything because, you know.
And we for those who haven't figured it out yet, it's Tom Merritt and Scott Johnson are going to both be on episode 100, and that show is set in stone on the calendar. That is November 2nd.
Yes,
and we cannot wait.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome.
That is a Wednesday. Never mind.
It is. It is the Wednesday before the election.
Yes. Yes. Can we get 100 out of the way before the world ends?
Yes. Before we commence the mass suicide that is the presidential results, regardless of how it goes. But yeah, man, we are super looking forward to that. It's going to be amazing. However, dude, we've got something. I mean, it's just awful. It's absolutely awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. About future guests, and we haven't asked our current guest, where can people find more hot beverages?
Well, there's this little coffee chain called Starbucks. They don't just tie themselves to hot beverages. Like, you can get coffee. Hot chocolate's my personal favorite because I don't really like coffee. You can get teas. Don't really like teas. But they do have frozen beverages if that's more your thing.
Yeah.
I mean, like, they sell hot chocolate at, like, pretty much everywhere, like McDonald's and stuff. You can go to Teavana, get your hot teas there.
What if they're looking for a very specific type of hot beverages?
Oh, okay. I get it now. That's me. I am Hot Beverages on Twitter. I've been Hot Beverages online since 1999. So if I'm not under the name Hot Beverages, then it's not me. So I'm Hot Beverages on Twitter, and if you're interested in seeing a bunch of pictures of my cat Momo, I'm Hot Beverages on Snapchat too.
And there we go. So, go ahead and follow. And if you go to any kind of Diamond Club event at all, like there's a good chance you're gonna run into her, and there's a good chance she's gonna say something awkward that's gonna make you laugh because that's kind of what she does. just saying how it is. Just busting out the truth.
Come to think of it, I've gone to a lot of Diamond Club meetups this year. Like, I've been like a part of the community since, I guess, 2011. And I didn't like participate in anything because I'm like shy and anxious, and that's just and very private. But like this year, I went to PAX South. I saw you guys at South by Southwest, which Ethan Kane, we have a rivalry there. Not going to go into it. I guess I went
you
to
have no, you have
Dragon
seat.
Con.
No, you can have the seat. No, you have the seat.
Hey! Hey! I just wanted to watch the Night Attack show. I was totally willing to give you that space. You were all like, oh, no, no, no. Emily wasn't willing to give me this space. She's a jerk. And I'm like, no. That's a quote from a couple podcasts back, exactly. You and Bonnie were saying.
That's an exact quote. That's just saying that's an exact quote. Okay, all right.
Exact quote. You're like, Emily, you jerk, move. And I was like, hey, let me help you move this table so that you have a better setup. Oh, your MacBook's about to fall off the table. Let me get this for you. I'm just saying. I'm not a jerk. Please me.
Amos, where are you at on the internet?
At Ethan Kane on the Twitter. It's the only thing I got time for, man. That's it. I'm on Twitter, and I'm barely keeping up with that. So that's how that
is. You posted a snap the other day.
Yeah, that Snapchat thing. I still don't understand it.
It's all the cool kids. It's with the cool millennial kids. God, I hate that word. Why did I say God, that's such a bad word.
The Snapchat thing, because I haven't even looked at that thing yet. I haven't had a time. But yeah, Twitter takes up most of my time. At @RM_DelNoche if you want to check me out there. That's the big one.
And Rate Beer. Don't forget your beers.
I'm on Rate Beer. Look up username Del Noche. Just type in Del Noche on everything that's out there.
And there's like a 60% chance you're gonna find
probably.
It.
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey man, there's one more thing we gotta do before we close the show out.
That's right. Yeah. Tonight we're playing Ritual Liberty.
Yes.
We were secretly selecting words that were spoken throughout the show. Words might have been answers to questions or simply just a word that caught our attention. And here it is, the end of the show. And Mad Lib style, we have plugged these random words into a story, and we are about to read that.
Am I reading this one?
We were supposed to be taking turns. I think you've read like the last three in a row. Do you want me to take this one, or do you want to just – is this your thing now?
I could read it because I would totally try to read it in character and mess it up.
I think that's why you do it all the time, because I'm just like, yes, that would be so entertaining to me. Please read.
Being a Girl Scout is so much fun. Every year we have a big clown sale where every Girl Scout tries to sell the most interesting clouds she can. We've got so many flavors. From brains to mustard. Last summer, my troop and I went on a camp to Krypton, where we got to sleep in a Starbucks, and we went exploding every day. I was able to earn 4 merit badges while I was there. I earned mine badge, the typing badge, and even got certified in first aid and TPS. This year, my troop is trying to raise enough money to Jigglypuff, where we will be able to meet Girl Scouts from all over, even Indianapolis. Even though some people think it's amazing, I think Girl Scout is the best podcast there is.
That was fantastic. That was yeah. That's that's one for the books. Emily, what did you think? That was crafted for you.
Perfect, especially. I'm very happy that Jigglypuff made it in there. If there's one thing that I want to spread more of in this world, it is Jigglypuff.
More Jigglypuff. More.
The entire story could have just been Jigglypuff.
Jigglypuff?
Yes, yes.
Jigglypuff is so much fun. Every year we Jigglypuff sale, where every Jigglypuff tries to sell the most interesting Jigglypuffs as she can. We've got so many Jigglypuffs, from Jigglypuff to Jigglypuffs. Last summer, my Jigglypuff and I went to my camp in Jigglypuff, where we got to sleep at a Jigglypuff, and we went exploding every Jigglypuff. I was able to earn 4 Jigglypuff badges while I was there. I earned the mime badge, the Jigglypuff badge, and even got certified in first aid for Jigglypuffs. This year, my Jigglypuff is trying to raise enough Jigglypuff for a trip to Jigglypuff, where we will be able to Jigglypuff Girl Scouts from Jigglypuff, even Indianapolis. Even though some Jigglypuffs think it's amazing, I think Jigglypuffs are the best Jigglypuffs there is.
Holy crap. We could have saved ourselves a lot of time and hassle just
for that. I know. It would have been so much easier. Hey, you can follow this show on Twitter @RitualMisery. Submit ideas at our subreddit, ritualmisery.reddit.com. You can email us. podcast@ritualmisery.com. Call and leave us a voicemail, 567-69-TRMPC. That's 567-698-7672. And, of course, you can find all these links and more ways to support the show at ritualmisery.com. Thank you so much to Kevin McLeod, who is allowing us to play his royalty-free music. Thank you for listening. For Kent, for Emily, for me, and for you, this has been your Ritual Misery Podcast.
See ya.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
And that's a show.
That was fun. What'd you think, Em? You want to do it again?
Hated it. You guys are so mean. I'm going to flip this table. No, I loved it. Thank you guys so much.